Welcome back to the roundtable and to our third hour. It is always a delight to find out what is happening at the Fenimore Art Museum in Cooperstown, New York. There they are on the shore of Otsego Lake, and this is incredible to me, but 11 exhibitions in plus what you normally show, which is just amazing, including the Thaw Collection of American Indian Art, Fine Art, Folk Art, Native American Art. We're going to be talking about two incredible exhibitions today and give you a preview of what's coming up as well. First, we talk about Mary Cassatt and Bert Morisseau, Allies in Impressionism, also the Power of Photography, 19th and 20th Century Original Master Prints, both on display all summer, and it is a great pleasure to welcome our dear friend Chris Rossi to the program, Exhibition Specialist. Hello, Chris. How are you?
Good, and always a delight to be here.
We love having you here.
Thanks.
We love it. It's always good to have you here. You brought along Ann Connor with you as Ann Cannon. I can't read my own writing. Ann Cannon with you as well. And Ann is the curator of American art at the Fenimore. How long have you had that position?
This will be my seventh year.
My God, really?
Wild.
We've been hiding her from you.
My big debut.
Yeah. Oh, this is wonderful. Good for you. That's incredible. So a lot going on. So Chris, let me just get the sort of a view. When I was saying that, you have the museum, the collection, and then a lot of exhibitions.
We have a very ambitious exhibition schedule, and as you pointed out, we've got amazing American masterpieces in our collection. Incredible Native American artwork as well, photography, folk art, but we also put on temporary exhibitions. And the big highlights this year, as you mentioned, are the Cassatt Morisseau Show and Power Photography for the summer.
So let us begin in talking about the Mary Cassatt, Bert Morisseau, Allies in Impressionism, highlighting the influence of these two artists that they had on one another, the influence that they had on one another, and their impact on that Impressionist movement. What brought you to this particular show?
Well, it's been a topic that's kind of fascinated me throughout my art history education. So I think starting in undergrad, I wrote one paper where I was comparing and contrasting the women of that movement with the men. And that kind of got me down this rabbit hole looking at Cassatt and Morisseau and how everybody really kind of painted them as rivals, no pun intended, because they were painters. But really, there was more in that relationship, and I wanted to dive in and see where they overlapped, how they influenced one another, etc.
How were you aware of that there was more to that relationship?
There were letters, actually. There's one letter in particular dated to 1890 that kind of was the jumping-off point for the whole exhibition, in which Cassatt writes to Morisseau, kind of talking to her about this really incredible exhibition of Japanese prints at the École des Beaux-Arts and how they needed to go and see them together. And then there's another letter confirming that they, in fact, did go and see that exhibition together, and that really inspired them to get into printmaking.
So when you look at that idea of printmaking, and then that's sort of just the beginning, right?
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
And then the trend, and then as that goes and continues, it becomes more and more involved.
Absolutely, yeah. As soon as you start kind of digging through those breadcrumbs, you find out, you know, at one point in her life, Cassatt owned a piece by Morisseau before they even really knew each other. And then you learn more about the group of Impressionists and how interconnected they were and all of these different opportunities and instances where they were together collaborating, learning from one another. And you can see it, too, in their painting styles and how they kind of play off one another with these very loose brush strokes.
One of the statements that is in the press release that I find fascinating is it says, Morisseau proved a woman could have both a family and a successful career, and Cassatt held the belief a woman only needed her independence to be fulfilled. I would think that would be rife for a lot of conversations between the two.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it goes back, too, to that whole idea of, you know, Cassatt is the one American within the Impressionist group. So she already had a leg up, so to speak, in terms of independence. coming from that background, not needing a man, not wanting to get married, not wanting to have kids. Whereas Morisot, who grew up in a very, you know, bourgeois French household, already had that kind of nagging mother, you know, in her ear telling her, you need to get married, tick-tock. You know, your father can only support you for so long. You need to find your own source of income. So it's really interesting, and I would have loved to have sat at a table with the two of them, hearing them discuss these concepts.
How many ultimately, how many paintings are on display?
Overall, we have 43 works of art, you know, on view in the gallery. About half of them are paintings, and the other half are works on paper, be that etchings, aquatints, and drawings.
What strikes you as being very indicative and very the showstopper, if you will?
Oh, geez. There's so many.
I know the one I really love. Come on.
We were, I think, the one that I think everybody will see in all of our advertisements, we were very fortunate to be able to borrow a work from the Terra Foundation of American Art entitled Summertime by Mary Cassatt, dated to around 1894, which was right at that moment when the two artists were really interacting a lot. They had just gone to see that exhibition at the Beaux-Arts, and you can really already see in that piece the influence of Japanese art and also the influence of Morisot in the way that Cassatt has really kind of loosened her brush strokes. You can see every place her brush touched, so to speak, on that canvas. The texture in impasto is just so incredible that it's good that it's glazed and behind glass, because otherwise I feel like our visitors would just be trying to touch it.
The paintings are really luscious and the colors in them are amazing. And there are times when you look at the two artists and you can see an overlap in what they're doing. And compelling, too, because they're really the two women of Impressionism. Wonderful to see them in this field of what's male-dominated.
Right.
Yeah.
And how did that go over at the time?
You know, I think critics at the time, Morisot entered into the Impressionist circle a few years before Cassatt, so she took a lot of the brunt of it. And critics at the time were, you know, not very nice, commenting about her painting technique being, you know, looking very unfinished, perhaps because she's a mother, her child's taking her time away from her canvases, she can't finish them, etc. But then, you know, Cassatt barged in, this, as they called her at the time, this tall, loud, brash American, and kind of reshuffled and helped to disrupt that status quo just enough so that these women could get their leg in the door.
Family was a big part for both artists and painting their family.
Yes. Morisot, you'll see that a lot more in our exhibition because her favorite subject was her daughter, Julie. So we have a few instances in the gallery where we can see how Morisot was able to very tenderly capture this maternal love that she felt towards her daughter. And Cassatt, we see it more so in her immediate family. She never had children, so she tended to paint her mother a lot of the time, her sister, and her nieces and nephews.
So I want to move, while we have time, to the other exhibit, big exhibit this summer, on display through September 1st, The Power of Photography, 19th to 20th Century Original Master Prints. 120 iconic images by 120 different photographers.
It's a huge show, and the photographers, the names range from very well-known. You'll find Ansel Adams in there and Imogene Cunningham, but there are also photos that are made by people that are now anonymous that are really compelling, and then some folks I had never heard of before, but now I really love their work. It's huge and wide-ranging and very moving.
When you look at wide-ranging, I assume you wanted that, right? I mean, when you're choosing from a photographer to allow that when it comes to subject matter.
It's interesting because this is a slightly different show. Anne put together the Cassatt Morisot exhibition and worked with different lenders to compose that show. This exhibit is taken straight from the collection of Peter Fetterman, who is a photography collector. He's been collecting for over 40 years. He's got over 1,000 pieces in his collection. And during COVID, he decided to do something he thought would brighten people's day. And every day he posted an image online with his thoughts about the photograph. Very philosophical, very humanist, and also material from the photographer, words from the photographer. So this is really Peter Fetterman's collection. We didn't choose what came to us, what he wanted to share with the world. And it's thought-provoking and kind of mind-blowing when you get to see the exhibition.
And obviously, it would seem to me, that tells you a lot about him.
Absolutely. One of the things that Peter talks about is that collecting is autobiographical. So the photos you're putting in the collection relate to you in some way. And he explains in Narratives on Our Labels why he felt drawn to this, or what the photographer was saying that he felt like I had to have this image, aside from just being a purely visual knockout, which is what you'll see.
The other exhibition that is coming up that I'm very excited about and I want to talk to you about, and that is you're bringing Calvin and Hobbes to the Fenimore. I could not be more excited.
I know. We've got lots of plans. Julia Medore, who's our working as assistant director, associate director of exhibitions, has been working with the Billy Ireland Museum to put this together. And we'll have sketches, cartoon strips from Calvin and Hobbes. We'll also have an interactive room where you could do a photo op in a little red wagon. You can make art. You can participate in some of the hijinks that maybe Calvin and Hobbes would be doing. So it should be good for children of all ages, as we like to say.
This started in 1985, went to 95. 85 to 95? Is that,
I think that's
roughly
about right.
10 years?
Yep.
Far too short. But the impact that it had in that 10 years is really incredible.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think there's a certain age group that grew up with Calvin and Hobbes, but people are rediscovering them. They're still immensely popular. They're like a philosophy treatise for a lot of people. And
yes.
So I think we're going to have a great response to this exhibition, and it'll be a heck of a lot of fun putting it together.
When Hobbes is wearing his scarf in the fall, I just find that adorable.
Okay, and I'm a big fan of the snowmen.
Yes.
I would love to do like a snowman interactive
It is so cool.
Yeah, it is.
I think I've seen some, they're big. There's some of them are quite
the
Sundays. Yes.
Yeah. It's usually we think of illustration as being small, but some of the strips are bigger. Some of the artwork is bigger for the show. And
yes,
we'll be doing some enlargements as well for people.
Well, and the other thing, too, is that with the Sunday panels, I mean, there's so much. And I'm showing Chris one because she hasn't seen it. I don't know what I'm doing on the radio. But this one from October 24th. But there's just so much going on.
Yes. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and that's really cool.
He's really detailed.
So that will take place in the fall and open in?
That is going to open September 13th.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Well, a lot going on at the Fenimore, as there always is, and we thank you all for being here, both Anne and Chris, to tell us what is happening. You can find out more information by going to fenimoreartmuseum.org, fenimoreartmuseum.org, and find out about not only these three exhibitions, two that are currently on display, one that will be on display, plus all of the other really cool stuff happening as well. Ayanna, a pleasure to meet you. Anything else that I left out that you would like to make mention of?
Oh, just that this summer we're going to have a lot of great programming as well. On July 10th, we're doing a Taste of France at Fenimore in conjunction with the Cassatt Morisot exhibition.
Very nice.
Where we'll have a private tour of the Cassatt exhibition, as well as, you know, followed by this great wine tasting, as well as a chocolate tasting utilizing one of Cassatt's chocolate recipes.
Very cool.
As of yesterday, seven spots remaining. So get your tickets on our website.
Don't miss that. Do it now.
And Chris, anything?
Yeah, Peter Fetterman, the collector, is actually going to be on site and giving a chat on July 12th, a Saturday. And again, if you go to the website, you could get the information. Should be fascinating. I'm really looking forward to it.
Really wonderful stuff. Again, you can find out more by going to FenimoreArtMuseum.org, FenimoreArtMuseum.org. Chris Rossi and Ann Cannon, I can't thank you enough for being here this morning, and I appreciate all the beautiful work you're doing for the museum and for the region and for sharing with us this morning.
Thanks.
Thank
Always
so
a treat
much.
To be here. Thank you.
Thank you.
It's our pleasure.
Again, FenimoreArtMuseum.org. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.